Come on, I want to take a picture of you. Just sit there for a second. Like, take a picture of you. Yeah, that's it. Oh, there you go. He-Man look. Hey, guys, put your hands up. Just wave, and I'll take a picture of you guys. No, I wasn't talking about the production crew. I'm talking about all you guys on camera. And so production crew's back there going, yeah, like, I want you monkeys on here. And taking a photo of everything. Just so that you can on Twitter see what it looks like from our side. You're looking at us from the front. You ought to see us looking at us from the back. No, wait a minute. That came out wrong. Yeah. Don't look at us from the...
Just move on.
Okay, just move on. So moving on. So I don't want to talk about this. This is administrative security.
Eh, we'll talk about it. We'll be fine.
Oh, you sure?
Yeah.
So if you know, if you are the godlike creature that is the administrator of your exchange, you may not be in a position where you can just do everything. You're going to want some help. So you're going to want to have some other admins take over some of these tasks and do things for you. And there's a couple of ways to assign security to them where you're not giving them too much security, but just enough to do their job. And that's what we're going to take a look at. This is a relatively short module, but we'll take a look at it. We've got, for the modules here, configuring administrative security and auditing. Auditing is really kind of cool. So we're going to take a look at what administrative security is, what the built-in role groups are, and also how to configure this thing called role-based access control, RBAC, and then how to view and manage audit logs. So Mike, let's start off with, wow, talk about administrative security and RBAC, and you know, I'm just going to sit here, and I'm not on camera
go to
or
sleep?
Anything, because, well, no, I'm not going to go to sleep, but if I was just going to kind of, I don't know. Put me on. Yeah, I was going to just kind of go over here and just go, oh, man, go ahead and talk about this. I'm going to.
It's like that, huh?
Yeah, just like this, because this is. What is this, man? This is.
So.
See, now you don't even want to talk about
now
it.
Now I'm stuck. No, but here's the thing. It's not that bad. It's actually keep it as simple as possible. It's the best way to go about this. The product group has done a great job of building some pre-canned groups where you can just put administrators. Give them the access that they need. They give you the ability to extend this and customize it very deeply, but you don't have to. And I would not start by saying, hey, let's customize the heck out of this thing. Let's keep it simple. So essentially the idea is we give you some groups. Those groups have roles tied to them, such as, hey, we have a role for you should be able to do everything. I put you in that group, you log into the tools, now you can do everything. There's also the concept of, hey, I just want you to do help desk stuff. I put you in that group. Then you log into the tools, and now you can't blow up my servers. You can only do some basic help desk administration type of stuff. That's all the concept is. The roles themselves are just lists of commandlets. So they're Exchange commandlets, and the roles get assigned to your account if you've been given access, and you're off and running. So it could be assigned to a group, but it could be a direct role assignment to a user as well.
Well, and here's the thing. I don't work for Microsoft, so I'm not required to say this. But I have to tell you, I actually think that what they've done with role-based access control is probably one of the most, I mean, under the hood is amazing. Because what you're actually doing when you assign somebody to one of these groups, you're controlling what commandlets they're allowed to run. And as you said, you can go much deeper. I think you do this in your book, right? You can go deeper and customize and do all this. You're controlling what commandlets these roles or these people are using.
Yeah.
That's a really granular, I mean, kind of control.
Yeah, and it really builds on that framework of let's build the commandlets for the product, and then let's build a GUI on top of it. And so it's easy to kind of carve out these roles that comprise those task-oriented sets of commands. So I give you a role for just creating recipients. You could tie that to a group, and then just give you that. You log into the tools, and then you get what you need to do your job, but you can't do anything else.
And I think the Exchange team has done an amazing job at this. And in 2010, it could be a little bit challenging, but here in 2013, they've made it pretty easy. We've got really basically two ways to do this. As you mentioned, using built-in groups that have already been created for us, and then there's this whole role assignment policy kind of thing that we can do. But why don't you start off with kind of showing us some of the built-in groups. I'm going to put a slide up, but you're going to bring up a graphic that's going to show all these
anyways. We'll look at this stuff. So yeah, let's just dive into it.
Yeah, let's just dive into it and show you some of the groups here.
So the way to think about it really is that anytime you're doing something in the graphical tools, you're running PowerShell commands, but also the EAC can be a self-service location for end users to do things like turn on out of office. They could do things like update their own personal phone numbers, stuff like that. So that's also RBAC for users. We have two kinds of RBACs, RBACs for administrators, RBAC for end users. So we've got two different concepts. We'll talk about the administrator piece first, and then we'll go into the user piece.
Is this the pirate version of Bach? Because I love Bach, and so it's like RBAC.
Yeah, it's fun to say, and it's fun to configure and work on.
Okay, just had to throw that in there. Go ahead.
It was good. Yeah, it was hilarious.
Thanks.
All right. So here's the big one. If you come in here under permissions, admin roles, organization management.
Okay.
If you look over here, this is the group, right, in Active Directory. This is all of your assigned roles. So the concept of, hey, we have a role called databases, that's got a bunch of commandlets that let you do stuff with databases. But notice that we've got multiple roles here. They all do
Active
different
directory
things.
Directory permissions, address lists, you can work with audit logs.
They're all self-describing, and they're all tied to this one group in AD. So if we go out to, let's just do this real quick so you can visualize. We had done this earlier. So let's run the Active Directory users and computers.
And these are all, so you see them all in.
Yeah, Microsoft Exchange Security Groups OU. When we did that prepare AD thing, or we were talking about preparing AD,
right,
like extending the schema but also creating groups and stuff, that's what these groups are. Organization management is a universal security group, and since I'm a member, I pretty much get all those roles that do all that stuff.
And you can assign membership the same way right through here if you wanted to.
Yeah, you can. You could just dump somebody in this group, and they're off and running. They go log into the tools, and they're good to go. So if you come back over here and look, I mean, this group itself, this is where you put everybody that needs like full-blown Exchange control. So probably going to be only a few people, if anything. But you scroll down this list, you see all the stuff that's out here, right? I could assign
these. Wow, that's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you can assign these individual roles by your own custom groups and put people in those groups, or you can use the built-in stuff. So I always tell people to use the built-in stuff, right? A good example is Help Desk. Well, what does Help Desk actually do? Well, if you highlight the group here, because if you're looking at it in here,
yeah, you really can't tell, right?
I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
But if I come over here, I can read the list. So view only and then user
options.
Okay. So basically the key here is, you're going to be doing a lot of get commands. You're going to be doing a lot of reading, but no writing.
No writing.
So you're going to have some basic user options.
Do me a favor. I love this one, hygiene management. Does that mean you're going to help me brush my teeth?
No, and actually the thing is, this is cool, you get a description over here. What? No, that's...
Come on, sorry.
That was pretty good. Yeah. Hygiene, I get it.
I get it, yeah. the production guys, that's the kind of humor you have to drop, too.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. So, it's getting late, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
It has nothing to do with brushing your teeth or combing your hair.
This is combing hair? Yeah, thanks. Appreciate that. This is actually all of the spam kind of hygiene stuff, antivirus stuff. Yep. Okay.
So another thing that you can do, I'd like to go just a tad bit deeper on this just to show you. If you come in here, you can't figure out what any of these do. A good one is like migration. Hey, what does this role do? Right? You can actually search in the management shell that role and figure out all the commandlets that are in there.
Oh, I see.
So if you really wanted to go hardcore, you could do something like git management role entry. And say, what was it called? Migration. They're always in this format of name/commandlet, but I put a little wildcard in here to show me the commandlets that are in that role.
Oh, actually, this is really cool.
Right, and so there's a bunch of commandlets in this role that, you know, set migration config. This is all for moving mailbox in a migration batch. We'll see how to do that in a little bit, but, you know, this is the commandlets that are in that role. If I wanted to figure out what commands were in a role, figure out the role name, and then just use this commandlet to say, hey, show me what's in there. Even the parameters are shown.
Which is awesome, because you can control what parameters too.
Yeah, so if you really wanted to go hardcore and create a custom role, you could scope it all the way down to the parameter level. So you just do like one parameter. You could give somebody set mailbox commandlet with just like the office.
A couple
parameter.
Of the parameters that you want to
know. And now you're like attribute level type of granularity here.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
But it's amazing control if you need that level. Right. Of control. Are there a couple of major groups here that you just want to point out real quick that are important?
Yeah,
that
I mean,
discovery or something like
that?
Yeah,
I mean, some of the stuff, you know, if you're in organization management, you might have to elevate yourself into some things like you just mentioned, discovery management. Even though you think you have everything in the world here, pretty much anything that's going to get you inside a mailbox, you still need to grant yourself that control.
So yeah, and one kind of warning is this is kind of one of those compliancy things, right?
Yeah.
This is discovery management is where you can search all mailboxes for information, you know, maybe keywords, things that you're looking, that you're trying to audit. So that's kind of an auditor's thing. And usually admins are the people getting audited. We don't get that permission by default.
Yep.
And to add that permission for yourself, you need to have an email that says you needed to do that.
Right, yeah. I mean, yeah, you might have only lawyers or something in this
right,
group.
Lawyers
legal
that
people.
Will do that.
Yeah, so.
But you have other things like, you know, just server management, public folder management, which we're going to talk about briefly when we get to migrations. So,
right.
You know, it's kind of like normal Active Directory groups. Now, you mentioned that, you know, this is from the administrative side. And this makes a lot of sense, right? You know, I put you into a group for recipient management. You can do this with recipients. But it's this... concept that you also have it from kind of the other side, right? You were mentioning that users can take on some responsibilities.
Yeah. So users also have the ability to run commandlets against their own account when they're doing self-service in the control panel.
And this is that management role assignment policies. And I've just got a very simple slide up, but you can go right to a demonstration. And
yeah. So let's take a look at the user roles section. We looked at the admin roles. Head over to user roles. You're going to get a default role assignment policy. So let's just edit this guy. Everybody's going to get this. You create a 2013 mailbox. They're going to get these settings that everything that's checked here are roles. My contact information, that's an RBAC role. That has commandlets. They're scoped against the user account itself. So they can run it against their own account.
Okay, so they can look at their address information, maybe change their address information.
Yep. And we didn't really talk about scopes from an admin perspective. But you know, scopes are organization-wide on that last view that we were looking at for admins. You can scope those you know, custom roles
Reduce
down to
it.
Like, yeah, say, hey, let's scope it down to an OU. Let's scope it down to a location, whatever. But here, this is all scoped to the user itself.
So it's only, so when they get the ability to change something, it's just them.
Right, and this is a real common one here is this guy right here, My Distribution Groups. Because if you look at what it actually says, it allows individual users to create, modify, and view distribution groups and modify and remove and add members to groups that they're an owner of. So what will happen is you might have done permissions differently in 2007 where you're setting ACLs on groups.
Mm-hmm.
And then you come over to 2013 and now you want to have an end user managing the group membership. They would actually need to have this end user role assigned.
That user role assigned, which makes a lot of sense because I'm not going to manage all the distribution group members. I'm going to, you know, the user that's closest to it, that particular business unit or business
right.
problem, they're the ones that know who needs to go in it. I can kind of elevate them so they can manage.
Yeah, exactly. You're offloading it to an administrator, like a delegate or something like that. Maybe you have somebody in a certain group that does that for that group, a department or something. But this is the typical one where somebody has to come into the role assignment policy and check this, so people get that option. This policy itself is assigned to each individual user. So you could create multiple policies and leave this as default. So anything that gets created inherits this, but then you could manually explicitly set like a VIP policy on certain individuals. Maybe you don't want everybody managing groups and creating groups. Because that role assignment gives everybody the ability to create groups and manage the groups that they've created.
So you'd create a new custom one that says only these people get the ability to do that.
And basically you would just run through here and you could say something simple, my DG, and then just scroll down and give them the ones that you want them to have. Right, and you would save that. Now this isn't going to take over as the default. And you haven't assigned the my base options, so you want to throw that in there as well. But you get the idea, right? So this one's still default. And this one is just a custom one that I can assign to an end user's mailbox. You go into recipients and say, hey, Becky is the VIP. She should have this mailbox feature assigned. And here's a custom role assignment policy to give her.
Oh, I see. And so now you've got, okay, so that's where you're doing the assignment. Now, if you had a group of users, you can use a PowerShell commandlet to set all this?
Yeah, you could, but you'd have to, that's like a one-time setting. So like you have to, if you keep creating people, you have to have a provisioning script. You might have to rerun that. It's a set mailbox command. And then if you look in here and you do a git role assignment policy, a lot of stuff comes back, but we just want to say FL identity and then is default, I believe it is, is D. I'm trying to use wildcards here. So default role assignment policy is still default, and my DG is not.
Right.
And okay. If I wanted to set my DG, that's a manual step I have to do every time I create a mailbox. It's going to inherit this, but then if I want to override it, I would manually set that either from the shell or from the GUI.
So, and I think that's an important point because I get asked this quite a bit. If I set this up for this group of people, then, I can just add new mailboxes to it, and it's just going to add that policy, and it's like, no, you're going to have to rerun it to get it to add it in.
Yeah, there's some settings that are default that it would be nice if there was like a global place to override. But we have really advanced things to handle that. Scripting agent is one of them, but that's super deep kind of developer topic. But
right.
There's ways to handle that, and then there's just basically script logic.
So I can elevate users a little bit to give them capabilities, especially like managing a distribution list. That's great. And I can also go in and give other admins permissions to Exchange to take off some of the workload of, just managing the operations of Exchange. That's all fine and dandy. But here's the part where I'm going to turn my back on you. This is where I'm going to...
You already did that.
I know, I already did that because, you scared me with all this, arr, back. But here's the thing.
It's not like I-S-A-R-R-R.
I know, yeah, A-R-R, I do it all the time. But here's the thing. So I guess you're going to tell me here that everything I do is recorded? I'm kind of freaking out by that. I mean, this is like the NSA of what do you mean everything I do is recorded?
Well, those are the times that we're living in, man. So everything that you do in here, we're watching you.
Who's right? Watching me? What I want to know.
Remember, all these commands are running through the server?
We showed
the remote PowerShell, right? Where
right.
It goes through IIS and all that. That's what's happening here. So we're actually logging that.
So what we have is everything that an admin does.
Any change
is being audited.
Right.
And recorded so that, and actually this is kind of a good idea, not only from an auditor's view or legal view, but also from a troubleshooting view. I mean, take the sinister part out of it, but from a troubleshooting thing, you may have five or six, admins doing something and an admin goes, something just went wrong. Well, what'd you do? I don't know.
Yep.
Or, well,
that's happened,
the answer we're going to get is, well, I didn't do nothing, but hopefully the answer would be, I did something, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
These can actually help you kind of understand, maybe even troubleshoot the situation.
Exactly.
So let me bring a slide up. We've got audit logging, and audit logging it's turned on for administrators by default. Can you audit anybody else besides just admins?
Well, there's like mailbox audit logging that you can turn on. So you can audit like mailbox owners and delegates for like item level things. But from an administrator perspective, yeah, anybody that's been assigned an RBAC role for an admin perspective, anything in that admin column we're looking at, and they connect to the tools and start doing admin type tasks,
right.
And they run like a set command or a remove command, whether it's in the shell or it's happening under the covers, we're logging that so we can go back and have some history there. Just like you were saying, somebody blows something up, nobody knows how that happened. Now we have a way to retrace those steps and say, okay. Jason really do it? And then it'll say right in there.
Yeah. Excuse me, Jason, what were you doing?
Yep.
And yeah.
And I've actually had that happen to somebody.
What's that?
Well, I know somebody that has actually done something like that and cleared the Windows event logs to try to hide the history, but it's actually in the audit logs in Exchange.
So and that this is hidden, right? You can't clear this.
Yeah, it kind of overwrites as needed.
But I can't easily clear it.
Yeah.
In other words, what you're saying is if there is a sinister, and let's face it, guys, there are admins that, may do something sinister. And
not me.
Don't say it. No, certainly not me. But there, they might do something sinister, and it might be kind of like if they go in and they clear the Windows logs or something.
Yeah. No, it's not easy to get rid of that stuff. It's all saved inside an arbitration mailbox, like a system type of mailbox.
Okay.
So it's,
Can you show us some of the stuff that's getting audited?
I mean,
and there's a graphical way and a PowerShell way, right?
Yeah, and I haven't used the graphical way a whole lot lately, but basically it sends you a report.
Yeah, it generates reports.
An XML, right?
Or you can have it, I think, do CSV reports,
too. Does it now
too?
Do CSV? Okay.
I think. Well, it's one of those auditing things. I believe
I always use the shell.
Options.
Let me show you this.
Well, then let's do the shell.
Check this out. Search admin audit log. So So this is, like you said, going to work by default after you do an install. It's just going to start working. Well, there is one catch to this, is that the arbitration mailbox where all of this stuff is stored, if you had 2010, that needs to be moved over to 2013 before we start logging changes made through 2013.
Wait a minute. Stop. This sounds kind of important. So
it's important, yeah.
So this administrative logging is not going to occur until you get that arbitration mailbox moved in a migration
right
over. So, you know, it sounds to me like, you know, when we get to the migration stuff, that's probably one of the first things.
Yeah, let's show how this works, and then we can look at the mailbox that's okay in there, and then we talk about moves. It'll be obvious how to move this thing.
Okay.
So the idea is, like, once you've got everything moved over and you're on 2013, and this worked on 2010 as well, is if you run search admin audit log, you're going to come back with an audit entry for everything that's made a change. If I do like a result size and say one, give me the last change. So just keep it clean because it's going to send back all kinds of information. Just do one just to get an idea of what it looks like here. We can see that set mailbox was run against this, you know, object, Becky Hayden.
Oh, Becky Hayden.
This is the actual role assignment we made a few minutes ago. So we have the caller. Long-time listener, first-time caller. This is the guy that...
Well, that's the best joke you've done all day. Applaud, everybody.
I had a couple of hits on you earlier that I thought were... Maybe you didn't think that was a joke, but it was.
Apparently, nobody else did.
Actually, a really nice guy. Okay. Anyways, you can see who ran it, who it ran against. You can see what parameters were used. You can see what time it ran, what server it ran through. I mean, it's all in here. It's pretty interesting. That's just the first command that's in the list. So, you know, that's a big deal because we know who did it, and it's
we know
saved.
Who actually did it.
And if you left off the result size, you know, we're going to get back everything. But you could say, just give me certain commandlets. Who's been running set mailbox? We know Becky is in there being impacted by the administrator, but there's other stuff.
This is actually an excellent parameter because if you know something just happened to somebody's mailbox, it would have been done with... They made this change. It was a set mailbox. This lets you go through and look at all the set mailboxes and who was doing them.
Yeah, this is just that commandlet. And that's what's in the audit log right now. So we got back everything that was in there. And, you know, you've got the result size thing. If there's a ton of stuff in there, you can say, give me unlimited. Show me everything that's in there. You know, and you could export to CSV if you wanted to, like that.
And get it into a report.
Put it into a file or something. Yeah, you could do all that. So there's different parameters to control this. So we had commandlets. You have start and end date. You know, so you can find
really
those.
Good. What happened yesterday?
Yeah. So give me the last couple days type of thing. So you can kind of scope it down and do some interesting things. But it shows you right there what was changed. One of the things that I love about it is the fact that it tells you the parameters, right? Commandlet parameters. So it's obvious that set mailbox does like 100 different things, right? If you look at the help file, it's like...
I love the help, using that as a demonstration just to get people... And PowerShell's easy. Let me show you the parameters. Right. And they just kind of go, I'm bone crushed. But no, you're right. There's a ton of them. So this is showing me the commandlet,
right?
The parameters that were run for it. It's awesome.
And then you can actually, if you really were going to dig down into this object, you could see what values were assigned to these parameters. Like this is really just a collection of items, and if you were to like save it off in a variable and dig down into this property, you know, you'd get back another object that has, hey, identity and role assignment policy, and here's the name of all that stuff. So you could really kind of go backwards and reconstruct the commands that were run and figure out what was going on. So it's pretty useful. But yeah, this is all administrative changes. It's not get commands. It's just things that's changing stuff.
And so, we are being watched.
You're being watched.
But there's a lot of good ways you can use this because it does have a lot of value to it. For troubleshooting, being able to go see if maybe there are being changes being made that I was unaware that somebody had the permission to make. I can look for certain commandlets that change. Actually, the auditing, the administrative auditing level is pretty cool when you get down to it.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty awesome.
Well, that's awesome. And you know, we're at that summary stage at this point. That summary stage because we did the built-in groups for administrative security, the role assignment stuff, and the audit logging. See, we said this was going to be a relatively short module because with all of the information we have now, we know more about the mailbox roles, the CAS roles, the transports, DAGs, all of this stuff. That leaves us only one last thing for the two of us to discuss.
Yeah, that's moving all of this stuff into this new environment.
Oh, I thought it was going to the bar. But okay, I'll take migration.
Well, we'll discuss that off camera.
Okay, that's so, guys, we're going to take 10 minutes. We come back. The last section, and probably the one that a lot of you have been waiting for, is to get some information about how do I get migrated to Exchange 2013. So we'll see you in 10 minutes, and we'll talk about that.